Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's do a little check-in. How is your year going? Are any of your kids struggling? Do you have students that are struggling to stay on task, to finish assignments, to manage their emotions, to focus? Are your kids having a hard time avoiding distractions and bouncing back when changes happen in their routine? This all could be due to a difficulty with executive functioning skills. Executive functions are the skills needed to achieve goal-related behavior, and a lack of these skills can really cause major issues on the day-to-day successes in the classroom. I am extremely passionate about talking about executive functions because I really think these are one of the key components we need in our behavior plans, in our classrooms. We need to be talking about this and working on this every single day. And guess what? I've got two webinars coming up all about executive functions. On September 24th, I'm going to go live at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Central to share my webinar, Unlocking the Secrets of Executive Functions. I'm going to give you an overview of what executive functions are, but more importantly, what you can do in your classroom or home setting to build these essential skills and the huge successes that will come once your kids have built up their executive functions. So join me September 24th, 3 or 7 p.m. Central. Can't wait to see you there.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board-certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. Today, I am discussing how to model being calm and how to safely and effectively help a child de-escalate. Today, I'm joined by BCBA Catherine Karpinski. She is the owner of The Joy Advantage, and we have such a great conversation on how to really help this process of co-regulation. Catherine walks us through exactly each step in this protocol to model calm, and it may actually go against your instincts and what you would typically do when a child is escalated. But it actually makes so much sense when she breaks down why we should be doing what we're doing and how this can really smooth over this process of de-escalation. So let's talk about modeling calm. Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Sasha.
I am excited about this topic. I think this is something that will be useful for a lot of teachers and parents. Today, Catherine's going to be sharing the strategy of modeling calm. Do you want to share a little bit of background about this strategy?
Sure. So the strategy of modeling calm comes from emotional identification and then being able to co-regulate with the child that you're working with. So the first precursor step to modeling calm is the emotion strategies. So when you're teaching emotions, when you're modeling emotions, when you're using picture cards, or maybe you're using video modeling, and you're teaching a child emotion, sometimes we get stuck in the rut of happy, sad, angry, hungry, all these, like you're either happy or you're one of these more negative emotions. So I want to make sure that teaching of emotions includes the word calm, what calm is, and demonstrations of calm. Also, in moments of calm, labeling it. So we know that sometimes the kids that we work with on the autism spectrum have difficulty with interoception. That's really getting in tune with how your body feels. So if we can model calm and tact calm in natural settings, then that reinforces the idea of what calm is, because we're going to need that later.
So that's a really good point. Sorry to interrupt you. We do over focus on these like big core emotions, but calm is one we don't often teach, like the labeling, the tacting of, but we really should be.
Yeah. And so it's a very important concept. Like if we have the expectation of, we want you to change your behavior, we want you to change your, how you're expressing yourself, we want to change your internal state. We want you to go from a dysregulated state to a regulated state. That's a big expectation. And we're wrapping it up in four little letters, calm. So, you know, in order to model calm, we have to first teach the concept of, what does it feel like when you're calm? What does the sensation of calming down feel like? What are some examples of calming down? And so when we use the language and we're connecting the language to the experience, so that's how we get the concept of calm in the first place. So now when I say modeling calm, now this is an intervention that I developed with my team, and I put in practice as a BCBA supervising ABA therapy. And what I noticed is in the face of a really intense meltdown, that strategies such as planned ignoring didn't always work because of the extinction burst. So, you know, you have a child who's already thrown themselves on the floor, they're kicking and screaming. You try the strategy of just planned ignoring the behavior until they self-regulate. Well, what if they kick you? What if they start throwing things? What if the behavior escalates and now you have to give attention? So that's some of the downsides of working with planned ignoring as a technique in the face of a meltdown. So instead of planned ignoring, I started teaching modeling calm. So modeling calm is actually a replacement for planned ignoring when planned ignoring is not going so well. So here's what it looks like. I'm going to give like my protocol where I have step one, step two, step three.
Love a protocol.
Yeah. So so first of all, you want to treat the meltdown almost like the kid is having a seizure. Like this is a period where the child is so dysregulated, they're in the red zone and they're tossing and flailing. They are momentarily like just not available to listen to directions. You want to clear the area so that they don't hurt themselves. Oftentimes the child will throw themselves on the ground. You want to like help the child gently lower themselves to the ground. If you've got a nice cushy mat or a rug, fantastic. That's an extra bonus. But basically you want the child to be in a clear area where they can cry and flail and not get hurt. You also want to make sure that any objects that can be thrown or crashed into is pushed away from their immediate reach. And then sit down with them. So you want to get yourself into a physical position where you are close enough in proximity, where they are aware of you, you're in their peripheral vision, but you're not going to get hit or struck. Of course, if there is striking, you do your best to just gently redirect that behavior. But the first thing that you're going to do is regulate your own emotions. So you're sitting, so step two, you're sitting down and you're concentrating on your breath. If you've ever been in a yoga class and they've told you to like deep breathe and breathe really deep into your belly, you start concentrating on your stomach muscles relaxing, your chest muscles relaxing. You get your breath deep and calm. Because once you can feel the calm sensation in your body, you are adjusting the emotional temperature of the room. So step number three is you keep yourself in this very calm, lower, regulated state. You are using deep breaths. If there is a strike coming your way, you just, you know, wax on, wax off. You don't break your calm to manage behaviors.
So at this point, you're not talking to the child. You're just sitting nearby, managing your breath.
Yes, exactly. You are not placing any demands. The room should be, and then, so you are gently taking down the temperature of the room just by cooling yourself down first.
Hey guys, quick interruption. I want to chat about Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a daily supplement that supports hormonal balance and regulation. It supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels. And the goal is really to give you more energy and a better night's sleep, which I think we all would be on board for that. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. All of their products have zero sugar, are gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. If you've been feeling a little off, check out Hormone Harmony. The biggest benefit that everyone says in their testimonials is they feel like themselves again. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Sasha at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Sasha for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is great. I mean, I think it goes not against, but it seems counterintuitive because mm-hmm. we're so used to, like you said, planned ignoring or jumping in with more demands when a child mm-hmm. is already, like you said, in that overly regulated state, dysregulated, where they can't handle anything else. And this is really kind of shifting the whole framework.
Yes. And so that's precisely why I wanted to come on the podcast to talk about this, because there are some flaws in the planned ignoring, because a dysregulated child will put the adult in a dysregulated state. Mm-hmm. If the tantrum or the meltdown or the excessive behavior, the crying, the screaming, if that's going on and on, guess what happens to our anxiety? Guess what yep. happens to our body? Guess what happens to our regulation? We start getting nervous about, like, oh, this is going on too long, and you're checking that timer. Oh, this is going on too long. The parent is going to be displeased. My principal is going to be displeased. My BCBA is going to – someone's going to be mad at me if I don't control this child. mm-hmm. And that feeds into the child's dysregulation. So what I found is, and I've been able to teach this strategy to my RBTs as well, and had a lot of success once the strategy was put into place, that if you have a child in a dysregulated state, you change your own internal state so you are modeling the behavior that you wish to see. It seems so like, oh, of course we should do that. We should yeah. model the behavior we want to see. Guess what happens? You know, we get in this kind of like one-upmanship of dysregulation. That doesn't yeah. serve anybody. So, yeah. okay. So we're on step three. The only interference with the child is preventing harm. So any hit is blocked, any self-injury is blocked, but what you do is you maintain a very calm, regulated state. Your movements are slow and flow, you know, the slow and flow. So, you know, if you got a block, you got a block, but you're not ignoring and then attending and ignoring. You kind of have this just like calm zen flow to you. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to block you from hitting your head. And now we're back to breathing. Now we're mm-hmm. going back to our calm state. So step four is when the child starts coming down on their own and reaches out to you. And I found this to be consistent every time I apply this. There is a moment where the child reaches out and initiates contact. It's pretty cool to see, because you'll see like the child is almost looking at you like, are you still there? Like, hello, you're not reacting. Why are you so calm? Like, there becomes a moment of awareness where the child comes out of the dysregulated state enough to notice your calm state. So I'm not using physical prompting. I'm not even using soothing touch. I'm not like patting their back or anything because that may be too intense in that moment. I let the child initiate. And then, you know, sometimes the child will just kind of like see how you're reacting. Sometimes they'll want to be affectionate, like crawl in your lap and cuddle a little bit. Sometimes they'll want to kind of like flop back and just kind of release. So you're watching for that that tension release from the child, and you'll see the child, you know, their body calm down. So once they're in that calm state, you can see if you can start using really simple observational statements or environmental tacting. So the purpose of the environmental tacting is to kind of like ground to the present moment. So for example, environmental tacting might be like, we're sitting on the floor right now. The sunlight is coming through the window. And so what this does is it orients the two of you to the present time and space. And then once the child is attending without escalating to neutral statements, then you can try giving a very slight demand like stand up or high five, just to see if there's a slight raise in demand is still okay and the child is still regulated at that point. And then the last step, step five is the observations. Step six is transitioning to a neutral activity, something where the child can continue the regulation. And we're also watching out for any like going back into the red zone. We don't want to place too much demand too fast because also, you know, if it's a really, really raging meltdown, like burn you out, you know, it's tiring. Mm-hmm. So we want to give that child an opportunity to get back to neutral. And so those are the six steps of modeling calm. So you clear the area, make sure the kid is safe. You sit with them and you make yourself very calm. You do your yoga breathing. You use the soft gaze. You don't place any demand. You don't even talk. Three, you block as necessary, maintaining your calm, but not presenting any demand. Four, you wait for the child to initiate and allow them to come to you for the kind of connection that they're seeking. And then you go into the neutral observations, see if that provokes a response. If the neutral observations are okay, you can move on to very simple demands like stand up or high five. Very mild demands, not meeting any resistance. Okay, good. Step six, transition.
Oh my gosh, I love this for so many reasons. And I appreciate you breaking it down into these steps because you can really kind of picture the process in your head. I love that this maintains the child's integrity. I think in these moments of a big meltdown, there's so often an opportunity to break rapport, to kind of damage that adult-child relationship and, you know, further like embarrass or kind of shame a child. But it's really just allowing them the space and some of the tools to de-escalate. And it also feels so much safer than a lot of other interventions that we like have in our toolbox that honestly don't often work.
Yeah. And I find this to be very effective. And, you know, I really learned a lot by seeing, but from the kids themselves, you know, seeing, you know, what does build that trust? What does make my clients feel calm and safe, you know, and how can I be mindful of their experience?
Yeah. What would be your response to maybe a more you know, quote unquote, old school or traditional ABA kind of practitioner that's like, well, you're reinforcing this meltdown by your presence, your comments. What is your, kind of your feedback for that comment?
Well, I've studied a lot about the neurobiology of autism, and I think there has to be a basic understanding of autistic neurobiology, that a lot of these meltdowns actually are more of a function of the nervous system. So I think, you know, I've been told too many times in my life, like, you're not a neurologist, Catherine, you're a BCBA. That just makes me want to study my neurology more.
Yeah.
The autistic nervous system simply has more neurons. It has more connections. It's got more branches. It's got more nubs. And it's structurally different than a typical brain. So when you use strategies that are successful with a neurotypical child, such as planned ignoring, such as, you know, not giving in, not reinforcing the intention, a neurotypical brain is going to interpret that information very different than an autistic brain. I would basically say that this technique is more neuroaffirming and is more in alignment with more recent information we have about the autistic nervous system and like the old school ways, you know, when we know better, we do better.
Yes, I so agree. Oh my gosh, thank you. This has been so helpful. And I love this kind of collaborative approach to ABA, which I think, you know, is an exciting place our field is going, that we can be pulling from other fields and other disciplines to find the most effective strategies for our kids. So this has been so helpful.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
So where can people go to learn more from you, Catherine?
Sure. My business is called The Joy Advantage. I do private consulting and parent training. I also work with young adults on the spectrum and with ADHD who are in school or entrepreneurs, business owners. You can go to www.thejoyadvantage.com to book a session.
Great. I will link that in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me, Catherine.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.